The jealous love of God. That's what we're talking about today. And I'd like to read Romans 6:17 to you. Maybe you'd like to join me in that passage. See if this resonates with you. It's Paul. But thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were entrusted to. Does that sound like something you would be interested in? Obeying from the heart. That we get to a place where obeying God becomes an internal desire and longing instead of an external demand and force. And it is all about something that God does to our hearts. Remember, we are commanded to love God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you, that's who he is. Here's what you're to do. And that is for us today. You are to love that one. And you're to do it with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. You are to pour all of your love, in other words, into this one entity who has announced that he is the Creator Covenant God. And your responsibility and mine is one thing. One thing. That we love him. And what you will find out is you will have a downstream event that love of that one will result in you loving his good creation, and supremely, you will love other people. Heal your relationship with God, pour your love into that one, and all other relationships are healed. Isn't that exactly what the enemy tries to do? Isn't it? If he can get between us and our love of God, if he can subvert that, if he can bastardize that. Jesus says in John 14:23, speaking of this very theme, if anyone loves me, the following four things will occur in your life. John 14:23 and 24. The following four things will occur for you. Number one, you will keep his word. Number two, God will love you. Number three, God and the Son will come to you. And number four, they'll stay with you and they'll make their home with you. But it always and ever begins and ends with our love of him. Our love being poured into him. And then he goes on to say, and look at verse 24 there maybe, John 14:24. Just listen to this. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. That's it. You might even want to. Listen to this. You might even want to keep his word. You might even want to obey. And you might try and struggle. But Jesus makes it clear here, if you don't love him, you will not. You are incapable of being obedient, because the type of obedience that counts is obedience from the heart, instead of the petty obedience. The petty obedience that, in my opinion, is actually a blockade to God doing a work in our lives. Now, I'm practical. And I know, and maybe you know, what if you don't love God from the heart? What if you find his commands a burden? What if you struggle mightily with obedience? What if you want your heart to be changed, but it isn't? How does that occur? How do you get there? And do you want to get there? I'm going to break this down for you. And we're going to go through the process that is necessary in every single life in order for this love of God to be so ensconced inside of us that we find ourselves axiomatically, we find an internal compass, we find ourselves irresistibly drawn to him, and we find ourselves obeying him, and ultimately, we find ourselves loving other people. And I'm going to go through Romans verse fragments, because Paul breaks this down. He says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him. Okay, let's get that straight right now. That's Romans 8, 9b. If you have your sheets from last week, these are listed there. It might be helpful to you. If not, you can just listen. But we're going to be in Romans 8. If anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Period. The flip side is this. If you do have the Spirit, you do belong to him. You're a son or a daughter. Well, how do you know that? Well, you know what? I need to know that. I need to have that assurance. I need the breadcrumbs of that assurance in my life, and I need it today. How do I know? Well, Paul says, this is how you know. 8:14, I'm sorry. All those led by the Spirit are God's sons. All those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. The confirmation that you are a son or a daughter of God is that you are going to be led by his Spirit. And when you're led by his Spirit, you know you're a son or a daughter of God. What is Paul referring to here? What event is Paul referring to here? He's referring to the Exodus event, isn't he? Now I want you to watch this. This can change you today. The Holy Spirit can change you today. The original people of God were led by God's Spirit. And it took the form of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the reason they knew, Paul says, the reason they knew that they were in the family is the presence of this leading Spirit of God. They could see it. It was there before them. It led them. And that was confirmation to them that they were indeed children of God. And the fact that they followed the Spirit, watch this, the fact that they followed the Spirit was also confirmation that that's who they were. It was God's Spirit testifying to them, letting them know, giving them assurance, you're my people, and I'm your God. And this is how you know it. You're going to be led by my Spirit. What was the one thing they had to do? What is the one thing the original people of God had to do in order to be led by God's Spirit, which gave them the confirmation that they were indeed sons and daughters of God? And listen, if you are not being led by the Spirit of God today, there's something that hasn't been done. Because this is a promise. What they had to do was leave Egypt, didn't they? They had to turn from the sin and death that they were enslaved in Egypt, get rid of the bondage, and they had to physically step and walk out of Egypt. That's called repentance. As long as they stayed in Egypt, and we have no confirmation that they all left. As long as they stayed in Egypt, they were not honored by being given the leading of the Spirit of God by the pillar of cloud and fire. God honored their commitment to turn and repent and leave Egypt and all that it had to offer. And you know what? Even our slavery and bondage to sin and death, now watch this, offers us something. It does. And it's hard to leave that sometimes. Because repentance, you will find, if in fact you have done that, is absolutely the hardest thing you have ever done. You love God from the heart? Do you want confirmation? Do you want obedience to be second nature? Have you left Egypt? Romans 8:15. I don't think this kind of message is talked about very much in churches. And I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I don't know. Teresa and I are all about this AFR, as you know. And I think I saw I heard something on there this week. That's American Family Radio. And again, I'm going to plug that. It's just a great thing to soak yourself in. Because if you're like me, does the world kick you around a little bit during the week? If you're like me, and to me, just on my way to and from work, if I can leave Egypt and plug into some godly men and women speaking to me into my ear, it's very helpful to me. And I heard this week on American Family Radio that if you go to church and you're not at some times, not all the time, but sometimes if you're not made uncomfortable, that's not a good thing. And maybe this message today will make you uncomfortable, but I'm not necessarily going to apologize for that. Romans 8:15b. How about you? What's Paul say about you? You've received the Spirit of adoption. You've been adopted. You're in the family. But how do I know? It doesn't feel like I'm in the family. I still feel like I'm outside. Well, how did the original people of God know that they were in the family? God gave them a very tangible, concrete evidence and testimony. You're in the family. Here's how you know. Here's my spirit. I'm giving it to you. It's going to guide you. It's going to be visible. You're going to have no mistake that you are in the family. It's the breadcrumbs of assurance. You follow the Spirit, and I'm doing it to you as a response to your repentance. So you've received the Spirit of adoption. How do you know? Romans 8:16. Here's how we know. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. How? What is... Okay, here's some theology for you. What happened in Pentecost? You know, what happened that day in Pentecost? And how do we compare that to the pillar of cloud and fire? Well, the Spirit of God to the original people of God was manifest by this pillar of fire and cloud, wasn't it? That's what the Spirit looked like. Here we are at Pentecost. Watch what God does. They're sitting in the room, remember? They're trying to decide, where do we go from here? Our one has ascended into the heavenly realm. We're convinced of his resurrection. Now, how do we go forward? And they're sitting there. I think of the original people of God, maybe starting out from Egypt and sitting there, as it were, and saying, now what? Where do we go from here? And God came through powerfully and irresistibly, and he gave them his spirit manifest by fire and a cloud. And here we have the remnant of Jesus' movement sitting in an upper room. Where do we go from here? And what does God give them? And they're sitting there, and suddenly, tongues of fire descended from the heavenly realm and rested on top of their heads and became internal. You see, the pillar of fire, God's Spirit, became, instead of an external guide, became on that day available to the sons and daughters of God, became an internal guidance and leading. No, we don't see this pillar of cloud and fire outside of us today. Thank God for that. Because God has now internalized that guidance. It became internal at Pentecost, and the Spirit that is now inside of you. Now here's where the shoe might pinch a little bit. How does that Spirit testify with my spirit that I am indeed a member of the family and that I have the assurance? Romans 8:15b. Do you love God from the heart? Paul says, here's how that Spirit testifies with your spirit. By whom, that Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. That's the testimony of the Spirit today with our spirits. If you have the Spirit of God, you not only belong to him, but that same said Spirit gives you assurance that you do belong to him. How? You find yourself loving God no matter what. Do Do you bail on God when things don't go your way? You get disgusted with God? You give up on God? You stop loving God because things don't go your way? Listen. The Spirit of God is the only way by whom I can cry, Abba, Father. And I think of the original people of God. Because even though they were being led by the Spirit for 40 years, they languish in the wilderness. They don't know where they're going. And it made no sense. But still, they found themselves doggedly following that cloud and that pillar of fire. And I think many times they must have said, God's made a mistake. Does it feel that way for you? That we're in the wilderness, that we don't know where this is going to go, we don't know what God's going to do, but, and yet, like the original people of God, you want to know if you're in the family? You find yourself doggedly clinging to your faith. In the face of overwhelming odds that may be screaming at you in the opposite way. Listen, that is the enemy's game. But Paul assures us that the Spirit himself that is now internalized, if it has happened, and if it hasn't happened, there is one problem. There's one thing you haven't done. You've not left Egypt. You've not repented. Because in order for that event, that Pentecostal event to occur in my life and in your life, it requires us to leave Egypt. We need to turn from whatever the bondage of sin and death we're in and leave it. Peter says in his pivotal sermon in Acts, right after this event, the same man that, absent the Holy Spirit's assurance 6 weeks earlier, swore and denied that he ever knew the one. Here's the same man, now filled with the Spirit, now having a testimony inside of him, and he stands up in front of all of them in Jerusalem, and he says this to them, "You need to repent, and if you do, you'll receive this Holy Spirit." The gift of the Spirit is just that, but it does require one thing from you and me, and that is repentance. Then why, if that's happened, and I've repented, and I have, why am I still in the wilderness? Why am I dealing with this circumstance? I don't know what to do with. Why do I have this situation that I have no idea how to handle? Because that's wilderness. I have the Spirit. I've repented. He's testifying with my spirit. I find myself by that Spirit crying, Abba, Father. And it's the only way I can cry, Abba, Father, which means, Daddy, help me. And yet, I'm not home safe and dry. I mean, isn't that what's supposed to happen? If I receive Christ as my Savior, if I repent, the teaching out there in some quarters is that you will find yourself in the Promised Land. You'll find yourself home safe and dry. But I have to believe this. That wilderness wandering is indispensable to our eventual confirmation to Christ-likeness. And that's hard for us to accept. And yet, the original people of God did not waver in their resilient, dogged faith and reliance on the Creator Covenant God, Yahweh. And the reason they didn't is because the Spirit kept testifying with them, kept assuring them, kept telling them, kept leading them, and they found themselves following that Spirit even when at times it took them deeper into the wilderness. Have you left Egypt? Is there any bondage of sin that has you? Do you find yourself? Let me ask you this. Do you find yourself irresistibly drawn to Him? Irresistibly. Do you find yourself longing for Him? Do you find yourself having a hunger and thirst for Scripture? This is important. This is salvific. Because if I love Him, I am going to be drawn to the pages that show me Him. As a deer pants for water, the psalmist says, so I long and thirst and pant for you, God. And I look at my life and I say, that's impossible. And it is. That it's impossible for me to love Scripture. It is impossible for me to be irresistibly drawn to God. It is impossible, watch, it is impossible for me to love God from the heart unless and until that Spirit, that Pentecostal fire, becomes internal in my life. And once that occurs, if it's the real deal, and I'm not talking about this easy believism, I'm talking about gut-wrenching repentance. And if it's the real deal, you will discover, I don't know why, but I'm following. It doesn't make sense, but I'm drawn to Him. He let me down in every way you could imagine, which is exactly what they thought as they're wandering in the wilderness, and they complained and they railed against God. But you know something odd about all of that? They still followed that cloud. How does someone do that? And are you doing it? Do you want assurance that you're going to be an heir of God, a co-heir with Christ? Do you want assurance that the promised land is your inheritance? Do you want assurance that He will never let go of you? Do you love God from the heart? And the trickle-down effect like John, now His commands aren't a burden. I know some of you want that. I know some of you don't have it. And it is my job to let the shoe pinch a little bit if you find yourself not drawn to God, if you find yourself not loving him from the heart, if you find yourself not panting and thirsting, hungry and thirsty for him, if you find yourself not irresistibly drawn to Scripture, Teresa, my godly wife, says this. She taught me this years ago. Ask him. Profound. Ask him. If you find yourself in this category now, because you want all things to work out, don't you? You want God to sort all things out for you. Here's the hope for us as God's people. If you find yourself in this category where you inexplicably, and it's crazy actually, and on paper it makes no sense, but I'm going to follow him right into that wilderness. And I find myself being drawn into that wilderness, and I'm doing it. And if I find myself, and if you find yourself in that category now, you will also find yourself in the inheritance category later. That is how his Spirit testifies with our spirits. He does not leave us as orphans. He assures us. And the assurance and the testimony that he gives powerfully and irresistibly is you love God from the heart no matter what, and no matter what wilderness you find yourself in, you continue to follow his lead. Have you left Egypt? Jesus says in Matthew something so succinct about this. He says, love of what you know it as, you can't serve two masters. Let me, Tim, paraphrase it. Jesus says there, love of the world feeds contempt for God. But here's the other side of that coin. He doesn't leave that. He says, conversely, love of God feeds contempt for the world. Now, the way God does this next week, if God is willing to have me here next week, the way God does this is really very interesting, and Teresa and I have talked about this. She bought a book. You know, my wife, my gosh, my wife buys books. I mean, our house is like, I mean, there's paths through books, you know, to get to point A to point B in our house, but it's okay. And she bought this big reference book, and she was going to return it. And I encouraged her to return it because I said, you know, honey, I've got a library full of books that I'm never going to read. I just can't get to reading them. You know, Tori, I know he bought me a book for Christmas years ago and I never read it. He always reminds me of it. So I'm going to preempt that right now. But anyway, she bought this. What's the name of that? Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. And so it was still in the cellophane. I said, send it back. Well, she took the cellophane off. And she set it on the kitchen table where I sit and where she sit together, and we have our thing. And you know, I hear people say this all the time. You know, you go, yeah, right. You know. But I did, honestly, I did open that book to a particular page. You know, I opened the Bible to a particular page, and a verse was there, you know that. But it did actually happen. I opened that book to a particular page, and it answered a question of how God makes this happen in our lives, in and through the Holy Spirit. And it is riveting and fascinating to understand. Because next week, here's what you're going to understand. You're going to understand the Trinity. You're going to understand the Holy Spirit. And you're going to understand how this occurs in the life of those who have left Egypt. Exciting. I hope you come back next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for that unquenchable love that you give us for you. Amen.